Good morning. It's so good to be here again and see every one of you. It's good, you know. Building is nice and everything is so good. And I really love the cafe out there. Anyways, this is a very important message that I believe is really important for us today in this generation. Jesus always asks questions. Like, Jesus is not someone to tell you, you know, what to do or to give a lot of instruction. In a lot of teachings in Jesus' ministry, usually he will ask you questions, ask the disciples or ask the audience probing questions. So you are the one actually find out the answer for yourself. And who do you say I am? I think it's a very important or the most important question that Jesus has asked in his time. And I believe it's the most important question for us to explore today. Who do you say I am? What would you think is your answer if Jesus asked you today? So let's have a prayer before we go into the details. Father, thank you so much for giving us such a wonderful privilege that we can come to serve you, come to worship you, and be your child, your children, and have the eternal salvation in us. We are also very privileged, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit in our life. For those who believe in you, you send the Spirit to us. And allow us to understand your word. Allow us to be able to know you and get close, really close to you, Lord. So I pray for today, pray for this time that we come together to meditate your word, to meditate and learn and think of this particular history in the Bible that you ask this particular important question to the disciple and to the audience. And I pray that today, when we explore this question, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will directly come to speak to us, Lord. It's not human voice, it's not human experience only, but it's you, Lord, the message that you want us to hear. So we pray for this time, and I pray that nothing could stop us to think of you. Nothing could stop us to focus on you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think Jesus is? If I ask you this question, what would you answer me? Or what would be coming into your heart and telling you who Jesus is? Or if you think about a situation, if you dare brave enough to ask this question to one of your friends that who hasn't believed in Jesus yet, what do you think the answer is? Who Jesus is? Who do you say I am? Many people today might think Jesus is only an imaginary figure, not really existed in the history. Some people might say, he's just a Greek teacher, someone has Greek values, a lot of other people that we admire in the history. You might say to yourself that Jesus is my savior. But if that is your answer, what does that exactly mean to you and to us as a church? It's really interesting when you look at this passage, the location that Jesus actually brings this question to his disciple. So before we go into the passage, a very important passage that we are going to explore today, I really like you to bring you to the location that Jesus talked about this with his disciples. Am I turning on here? Is that on? Oh. Yeah, okay. So if you pay attention to the passage that we have just read, the Bible records Jesus had this conversation with his disciples in a location called Caesarea Philippi. So if you look at the map here, Caesarea Philippi is actually about 25 to 30 miles north of Galilee. So it's kind of in the Terrans and you know, go you know, north in the you know, away from Galilee and close by the mountain of Horan. So anyone knows any history about this location? No. So it's actually according to the history or some information that you can find from internet, Google. It's actually a very, very beautiful place. You know, have lots of rich resources and very beautiful sightseeing area still, you know, for today. And it's also a very, you know, have rich resources, water surrounding the area. In the old day, besides this natural beauty and resources, Caesarea Philippi is also a very well-known area for worshipping idols. So if you remember the king of Jeroboam in the history of Israel, he was the first king brought the Israelites to worship, you know, go to the way, I mean, leading them to away from God and started to worship idol. And this is the first place that he went to with the people. So a lot of idols being worshipped there, a lot of temples, and in fact, Caesarea Philippi also built a temple and a statue for himself to be worshipped in the old day. And one of the gods being worshipped there, the name of the god is Pan. Pan is actually quite well known if you Google. Again, you know, the information about this idol. He's actually half human and half goat. So, and his nature, historic people, or I mean the Greek people, actually named him as the god of horror. Do you know, I believe you know the name, the word panic, right? What's the word panic mean? Panic attack, or you know, is it? Well, I understand the word is you got some anxiety and really anxious. Can I say that? That's my understanding of panic. And in fact, the word panic is from this god, Panic. So Pan, this idol actually is a very well-known god, one of the gods in history. So if you look at this cave called Cave of Pan, but at the same time, this cave also have a name called Gates of Hades. The reason why is they believe the people that time, or I don't know if they still believe in that today, the waters surrounding this cave, in fact, is bringing spirit or the gods through the cave to the Hades. So this cave also has a name called Gates of Hades. It's very interesting when you look at the background of this location and think about the details of the passage, of the conversation that Jesus had with the disciples. I thought it was actually interesting. But let us talk about that later. But put that in your mind. So, who is Jesus to you? Who exactly is Jesus? Who do you say I am? If you look at the passage, I mean, let's look at this first. I actually just quickly Googled something online. If you look at the most influential people in the history, this ranker, you know, the website of ranker, ranked Jesus as number one influential person in the history. However, so you know that Jesus is quite influential, you know. They didn't say that he's God, but they did say that he influenced a lot of people. Unfortunately, a lot of websites right now, or a lot of information out there, Jesus is no longer number one. Guess who is number one? Who is number one, you think? It's very influential by the information come from New York Times a couple years ago. Yeah. Try it. Who is number one? Huh? Obama? You know, it's concerned too. I could use this word for myself. Number one, most influential person right now, according to New York Times, is Muhammad, the leader of the Muslim community and Muslim religion. Muhammad is number one. Jesus, in fact, according to New York Times, is only number three. Interesting, eh? I don't know if to you it's interesting, but to me actually it's interesting. So, a lot of people today, as I said, they might think that, no, I don't actually believe in Jesus. I don't think he's God. I don't think he would provide me salvation. Mostly, I just appreciate he's a good teacher. Lots of people going to church learn from him. He might be someone, you know, give us a lot of, you know, some good values. But good values today could be very biased and so-called conservative values that, you know, the liberal side of our politician is very much wanted to destroy that. So who Jesus is really to you? So when Jesus asked this question to his disciples, Jesus asked first. He said in the verse, look at verse 13. He asked, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he's not right away asked the question to his disciples, who do you think I am? But he's asking a question, who do you think the people think of me? What do you think the people actually, you know, following me, listening to me, know about me? Who do people say the Son of God is? And the disciples answer, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some others say that you are Elijah. And still others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So I guess it's very similar to our answer today in the public. You know, some say that you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one, the Bible said, came before Jesus to prepare his way. But what is the conclusion of his life? Anyone remember? He was being beheaded. And that's his end of life. But he's a great person. He's a great prophet. Who is Elijah? Elijah is one of the prophets, right? In the Old Testament, he didn't actually die. No one saw him die. He was taken away by God. But he's a great prophet. Jeremiah too. Jeremiah is another great prophet in the very challenging days of Israel. Or any prophet. You know, put it this way, you're just a prophet in the people's eyes. Someone come, maybe tell us a good thing, or warning us, or give us some values of God. Good values. Very similar to us today, or us could be worse, you know, could be worse than that time. So Jesus proceeds to ask another question. And then he asked, but what about you? Who do you say I am? So what about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say not I am? Not Grace, but who do you say Jesus is? This question was to a group that had been following Jesus, at least for some time. They give up a lot of things just to follow Jesus. They are the very close group of people. Live with Jesus, spend every day with Jesus. They know Jesus. And how about you? You come to the church, hopefully every Sunday. You believe in God. You believe Jesus gave you for salvation. And you say you believe in Him. And I believe that you read His Word, think of Jesus, pray to Jesus. But what do you say He is to you? Simon Peter is the one give the answer here. You know, Jesus, in the Bible didn't go around to talk about other things. They quickly pointed Simon Peter's answer. Peter answered Jesus saying that, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What's Simon Peter's answer to you? Simon Peter said, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." When Peter said, "You are the Messiah," everyone understand in those times in Israel, Messiah means the Savior that they were waiting for a long time, since in the history of the nation. Messiah would be coming to save them, save the nation, to provide nation salvation and eternity, and save them from slavery, suffering. That's the one that they were waiting for. When Simon said that you are the Messiah, Simon Peter actually saying that you are not just a prophet. You are sent by God, and you are God. Jesus replied to him, this is the most important passage, and actually a very familiar passage I believe most of us come across and understand and read that. Jesus replied to Peter saying that, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciple not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Historically, we have a lot of debate about this passage. This passage, in fact, I don't know if you know, is a very fundamental passage of our Catholic Church. They believe Peter is the founding disciple of the church. Because Jesus said here, the church will build on him, the rock. He is the rock of the church. In fact, the name of Peter, the meaning of the name of Peter, means the rock. So the Catholic Church believe, because this declaration of Peter, they believe Jesus prophesied or promised the church, we, universal church, will be built on this person in the future. So whoever Peter have the keys to open the heaven to whoever, then the church will open for that. If Peter closed the gates of heaven and bound anyone, then that person or that group of people will be bounded. I'm not sure if that is exactly what I believe. So what I'm going to say here, I'd like to challenge you to take it home and meditate on it. Jesus might say, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, because that's not revealed to you by flesh and blood. So Jesus is actually saying that it's not someone, human being, to tell you this. Your answer is actually given by God, by Holy Spirit. And I tell you here, Jesus said that you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. What I'm actually believing, what Jesus is saying, is not just to Peter. Jesus is saying, because your inspiration from the Holy Spirit, you know who I am. I am the Messiah coming to sacrifice for you and to give you eternal salvation. The church will build on you. But the church is not only built on Peter alone. The church is to build on those have that same understanding, same faith, and same belief as Peter. So the church is not only building on Peter alone, but it's building on those who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the eternal King, as the Son of God, as the one will provide you salvation that no one can take away. So whoever Peter, so this key of heaven, give it to Peter, at the same time is also given to all that they are believing in Jesus. So whoever Peter can bind in heaven, those they believe in Jesus can bind in heaven as well. Whoever can lose, whoever Peter could lose with this key, heaven will receive this as well. It sounds like very simple. It sounds like that you might not have a lot of objections on me. But the key here is whether your confession, your understanding, or your faith is the same as Peter at that moment. I have to say, whether who Jesus to you is should change your life. Peter didn't really change his life after this confession, after this declaration. He failed severely. He failed to a point history record his failure. Everyone studied the Bible. No, Peter failed. However, his failure bring him back to this understanding. Jesus is the Messiah. And he confessed that before. He turned out to be one of the most admirable disciples in the history. His death is not only hanging on the cross, he's hanging on the cross upside down. This changed Peter's life. Who Jesus is to you? Who Jesus is to you. When I ask this question to myself and looking at this passage, I was wondering why Jesus chose Caesarea Philippi to ask the disciples this question. Caesarea Philippi was a place of worship, idol worship. Lots of idols, temples there. Caesarea Philippi is also the gate of Hades at that time. Very much refer to Jesus' declaration to Peter as well. When Jesus said this to Peter, you have the key for heaven. This key, even the gates of Hades cannot overcome. I felt so empowered when I know that Jesus brought his disciple just at the gates of Hades and make this announcement. Challenge the devil, challenge the evil, challenge the Satan, the evil work at particular that area. I felt really empowered that Jesus is not shied away from all this evil thing. He stand up and he bring his disciple to stand up and understand the ultimate truth about him. He is the Messiah. Even the gates of Hades would not have victory on him. I got myself really emotional coming to this part. The reason why is, I believe we are actually standing or bounding in the location of gates of Hades. We have lots of idols worshippers around us. We have lots of idols surrounding us. We have lots of evil surround us. Our society is no longer, obviously no longer bring us to goodness, giving us good values, teaching us how to be a good person. Our societies, our politicians, our world is telling you, as what I always say when I come here, you are the most important person. Whatever you like, you can do it. I feel really upset and broken in my heart that I kept seeing our politicians, our society approve late-term abortion, approve euthanasia, approve or encourage transgender, approve a lot of things that you just think is not making sense. No sense at all. Sometimes, you know, when I come to frustration talking to my husband David here today, we are actually giving a lot of license to murder. It's licensing murder happening in our society. We're actually killing ourselves. We're killing our society. That's the work of the devil. We become a nation, a kingdom. We said we are God's kingdom, but many of us here or in our society have no power, no resilience, no decision-making power to stand up for our life, to stand up for your belief and your own values. We become so timid because religion and faith become so private. You're not supposed to tell anyone what you believe. You're not supposed to ask this question to your friend. So what Jesus like, what Jesus is to us? Who Jesus is to you? If you honestly ask yourself this question to your heart, who Jesus exactly to you? Is Jesus just someone teaching you good value? Is Jesus just provide you a nice church where you come to worship and meet with nice people? Is church somewhere that you feel love and you feel that you are accepted or you appreciate it? There's nothing wrong about this. But is Jesus just about this to you? If you believe Jesus is the Messiah, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus should change your life. Or put it this way, your life should be changed because of your faith, because of your declaration or your confession to Jesus. You should no longer live a life that puts yourself first. You should no longer live a life that not forgiving other people. You should not live a life that you're timid and not challenging what is suppressing to you from the world. You should not live a life to accept everything everyone telling you. You should be in a position that believe you can ask this question to yourself. You should be in a position can ask this question to your friends. You should be in a position can stand up for what you believe. Jesus took the whole disciples, 12 people, to the gates of Hades, in the midst of worship idols area. He's showing us he's not someone else, just a prophet. He's the Son of God. He already has the victory. He can be your example. He's not afraid of death. He's not afraid of challenge. Because he knows who he is. In this particular passage, he empowered Peter. And I believe after Peter's failure, he would never, never, ever forget this conversation that he had with Jesus. This dialogue become his power in the future. Become his power to overcome all the sufferings, all the challenges in his time. This dialogue become the promise and the faith he had to overcome the upside down cross that he was hanging up on. Don't get this for granted. This is the most important question I wish you would ask yourself and keep asking yourself each and every day. I'm nobody better than you. Standing here to challenge you because I was challenged. I like my comfort zone. I like being a very comfortable Christian. Once in a while coming to give you a message. You know, I could just give you a message, makes you feel good. Which is a lot of churches are doing right now. There was a time that I was so afraid to offend people in the church when I was a pastor. I'm nothing better than you. But when I meditate on this again, and looking at what is going on in our crazy world, I'm definitely being challenged to take this position to challenge every one of us. Because our world definitely needs Jesus. Your friends, your family definitely need Jesus' salvation. You need him. And you need to change your life for what you believe. It's not for the church. It's not for your friends here. It's for your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to you? My final time to ask this question. Open your heart. Be very honest to yourself. Who Jesus is to you. If you believe in him, if you believe that he is giving you salvation, he loves you. He saved you. He understands you. He is always be with you. In the most challenging time, and it's in the most precious and loving time. But what have you done to prove that you believe who he is? Have you put Jesus as your Lord and he comes first for everything you are, everything you want to, everything you wanted to go forward? Have you put Jesus ahead of everything and be the Lord of you? Have you lived a life Christ-like, or you still live a life so much because of yourself? Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. And Jesus is my salvation. He's my Messiah. And I wish this answer really give us the key of the heaven. There's a lot of people need you and me open the heaven door for them to go in. You need Jesus, I do. And everyone in this world, they do need Jesus. And you hold this key. You are. You hold this key as I am. Can you tell yourself that I believe Jesus is Messiah? Devil, evil thing, the gates of Hades would not able to overcome me because I have this key of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will speak to us today, as you always speak to us. I pray that you will help us to look around our world. Allow us to be brave to open our eyes to see what exactly happening around us. See the pictures of baby being aborted. See people choose to kill themselves by calling that euthanasia. See people protesting just to trying to get their rights and voice being listened. See our politicians leading us not to a godly direction, but to a direction that could lead us to the gates of Hades. I pray that, Lord, you will allow us to see the pain, to see something that we always avoid ourselves to see or to feel. And I pray that, Lord, you will let us to know whoever suffers from those situation. I pray, Lord, you will out loud telling us today they need you. They need to know who you are. Thinking about us, we say we believe in you. We believe that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You save us. You love us. You provide us direction. You provide us eternal life. You provide us forgiveness and all the good things that we have today. But Lord, ask us this question. Who do you say I am? And listen to our own hearts. Lord, help us to answer this question with honesty, with sincerity, as nothing can really hide in your presence. Lord, I pray, if we believe in you, but we haven't really ask you to be our Lord or allow you to be our Lord and our King, I pray today you will challenge us to change our life for you. You will promise us again. You will strengthen us and empower us to believe victory is on you already. Not even the gates of Hades can overcome your victory. We have the keys for heaven. We have the power to open the door for those who need you to go into the heaven with us. But we need to know this as our obligations, as our responsibility, as the things that you commission us to do on earth. I believe we don't have a lot of time, Lord. Our world is going very, very crazy. That means the devil is doing a lot of things in his final time. Challenge us, Lord. Help us to stand firm on the rock of you, not other rocks, but you, the rock of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.